That was on a live mic, right?
I don't think it was. First Up continues here on TSN 1050. If you're wondering why we're laughing, our technical producer, 20 Fingers, who gives us a little heads up before we're back on the air, because, you know, Carlo and I are probably saying something stupid that would get us in trouble, but he sneezed as he was telling us we were back on the air, and it just sounded odd. We weren't sure if it...
sounded like a fart.
I mean, I guess you could look at it that way. I now have to welcome in an esteemed broadcaster of Jack Armstrong's ilk after you talking about farting. Wow. I apologize, Jack. Good morning.
Good morning. The word esteemed is kind of a stretch, but I'll take it.
Yes. Esteemed would be an understatement. You are the man, Jack. We appreciate you taking the time to join us this morning, especially after a tough one for the Raps. I mean, they had that 6-game road trip that concluded in Indiana. They're back against Boston, one of their top rivals. But the team is so banged up all of a sudden. OG Anunoby, he's missed 6 games in a row. Now, Gary Trent Jr. has been one of the best stories for the Raptors this season. His emergence, he's got a calf injury. We know Kem Birch is hurt. I mean, it's a little dispiriting to see just how banged up this team is and not being able to overcome those significant injuries.
Yeah, you know, obviously, as you know, I mean, the first game back from a long West Coast trip is always incredibly challenging, particularly when you get home. You know, you land at like 1:30 in the morning on Friday night, Saturday morning, and then you got to play at 6:00 Sunday. It's a quick turnaround, and you got, you know, I've experienced it in my years doing this, and it's one of the toughest games you ever have to play during the course of a season, many times tougher than a back-to-back. But and then you're losing 3 starters. I mean, theoretically, I mean, Kem Birch would probably be your starting 5, and obviously Anunoby at the 3, and Gary Trent at the 2. You know, that's a lot. I mean, that's a lot. And then, you know, your lineup rotations are all out of whack. You could just see it last night right from the start that it was going to be an uphill battle. And I thought they did battle. I thought they played really hard and tried their best. The challenge is when you have guys that are in unfamiliar places and you're asking maybe a little too much from them, it becomes that much harder, that much more difficult to overcome a decent team. I wouldn't say the Celtics are a great team, but a decent team, and they just couldn't do it. And Fred VanVleet's just doing an incredible job right now, trying to do everything possible and giving you some really good performance and heavy lifting. But it's just a lot to ask right now. And, you never like to use injuries as an excuse. They're a reality. And the reality is right now for this group, it's so young, it's hard to overcome that.
Jack, there was a lot of talk around the struggles that the Raptors faced last year of not being at home and how much home playing at the Scotiabank Arena was an advantage to this group. And since they've been at home and the return to Scotiabank Arena, they boast a 2-7 record, and they'll play 16 of their next 20 games at home. I know they've come off a long road trip, and you touched on sometimes that first game back can be, you know, a tough rebound. But what do you make of their play at home being so, or at least their record being so mediocre? Or at least, I wouldn't say mediocre is a kind way to say it, but it's been bad, 2-7.
Yeah, no, I'm surprised. Now tomorrow night they'll have Memphis without Ja Morant, so that's helpful based upon how banged up the Raptors are. But I'm surprised. Because they've done a pretty good job on the road. I mean, you know, yeah. You look at their record on the road. I mean, they have a winning record on the road. Last night is easily explainable. Some of the others are a little bit more difficult to explain. But nonetheless, it's been an issue. And Toronto's had a great home court advantage for many, many years. And, you know, you look around the NBA right now and the NHL. I read an interesting article about it the other day. I mean, a lot of the markets are down 10%. Many of them are down 20%. I've seen it firsthand on the road. You don't see that in Toronto. I mean, you're still seeing great crowds, and that's been a tremendous credit to our fan base. And compared to what they had to deal with a year ago in Tampa, Fred Van Vliet, I think, even commented on it, you know, but it's frustrating because everyone's so excited to be back playing in Toronto, and unfortunately they're just not able to get over the hump and get some wins at home. So you hope that turns. There's plenty of time left. And as you mentioned, Carlo, there's a lot of games coming up at home. And, you know, the biggest thing, whether you're home, road, wherever, good health is a major factor. And when you're missing those three guys, I don't care where you play, yeah, it becomes that much harder to win.
Our NBA analyst, Jack Armstrong, our guest here on First Up, Aaron Kurelnik and Carlo Koliakovo with you. It was a weird game for Scotty Barnes, Jack. I mean, he commits a couple of quick turnovers. Nick Nurse pulls him. He checks back in later in the first quarter and all of a sudden starts shooting threes like Steph Curry. 9 three-point attempts. What was going on with Scotty Barnes? And do you think this three-point barrage, which Nick Nurse has talked about throughout the course of the season, wanting Scotty to shoot the three ball more. I mean, that's just the natural progression of any NBA player, especially a 20-year-old like Scotty Barnes. But I think that might be very notable going forward, because if he's expanding his range and building confidence in that regard, that's a whole new element to his game.
Well, they're empowering him too, which is really cool. You know, and I said it on the air the other night, you know, when he was shooting a free throw, his mechanics are sound. I mean, he's going to be okay. I mean, and as you could see last night, I mean, he'll become a good shooter. It's just going to, you know, and right now he's had a really, really good rookie year. And I like, you know, I've said it many times, they've thrown him in the deep end. And I think he's handled himself pretty well. Yeah, you know, he had a few mistakes there early. I think Nick did the right thing of kind of saying, hey, you got to sit down and reflect on this for a few minutes. And, you know, some young players don't react well to that. And you want to find out what they're made of. And clearly you have a young man who's got high character, who's a tough guy, who can be a good self-critic and respond from it and grow from it. And I think he showed a really good level of professionalism and said, all right, I wasn't good in that stretch, but I'm going to be better the rest of the way. And he was. He played well. And, you know, if he can be a guy that can be a sound three-point shooter along with all the other stuff he has going in his game, watch out. And, again, he's just scratching the surface right now. But I like the fact that they're empowering him and they're challenging him. And they're putting expectations on him. And there are going to be times where he's got to push through the fatigue. And there's going to be nights like last night. I think he looked like your classic guy. Oh, my goodness, this pro sports stuff is hard. You know, I was on the road for a few weeks. I don't know if I had my laundry done, and here I got to play another game. You know? And it just... he came out and he got jolted right away. Sit down and watch for a little bit. Okay, you got to get back into the moment. So, but to me, again, that's good stuff. That's how guys grow. That's how guys learn. They get better. And having a guy like Fred VanVleet as a teammate, he keeps you accountable.
Jack, another weird, I guess, kind of chapter in the Goran Dragic situation with the Raptors. We know when he initially was traded to Toronto was not enthused, and then he was saying all the right things, and now he has been excused from the team while he tends to a personal matter with no timeline for his return, and there are reports that the Raptors don't expect to see Goran Dragic back in Toronto at all, and he could be bought out or traded before the trade deadline. What do you think is going on behind the scenes with Dragic, and is there any chance we see him again in a Raptors uniform?
Well, number one, I think in terms of behind the scenes, I think what Bobby Webster said is straight on. I mean, they're excusing him for a personal situation, and where it goes from here, your guess is as good as mine. But I don't think there's any, hidden agenda going on or anything. I think there's
you know, the fact that he has something to address, and they're going to give him the time to do that. I think clearly we all know, based upon minute distribution, when you look at a Delano Banton, even a Malachi Flynn to a degree, even a Gary Trent, you know, like a, I mean, it's clear that he's not in their plans. You know, I mean, you know, they're gonna build. They understand that this is more of a long term thing than a short term thing. And I mean, clearly the guy's resume is such that, you know, he would play if he was in their long term plans. But I just think it's the right thing to do, to come to grips with, hey, where are we at as an organization? And we're better suited playing these young guys because they're going to be here long term, and we got to figure out what they're about. And I think he's been incredibly professional. He's a really good guy. I had a nice chat with him actually Friday night in Indianapolis, just standing on the court chat. And he's a gentleman. He's a good man, and he's a heck of a player. It just sometimes things are circumstantial and from a playing perspective, and it just doesn't work out in a particular market. And, you know, the numbers have to fit a certain deal and a transaction to make it work. But nonetheless, do I think Goran Dragic will be able to play for somebody again in the NBA? There's no question. And he'll be a very good player for whoever he plays for. But beyond that, I don't know. I can't speak to what the personal issue is, because I don't know what it is.
Jack, as always, we appreciate your time. And if I can, I'd like to book you for next Monday morning, because there is a big event happening in Buffalo next Monday night. The Patriots in town. And, ooh, man, for Carlo, for you, for Bill's Mafia, I imagine the preparations are already beginning. The mental hurdles to overcome Belichick coming to town must be a little daunting for you guys. How you feeling?
Well, I watched them play Tennessee yesterday. I think I said this to you last week. I mean, if just strictly the eyeball test right now, they're playing better football than the Bills right now. So, you know, the Bills got their hands full. It'll be a challenging opponent. So I guess you feel more comfortable calling me on Monday morning than Tuesday morning. So this Monday night could be
either
a
or
night, win, lose, or draw. But no, I'm excited about it. I mean, you know, hey, look, right now, if the season ended today, the Bills would be in the playoffs as well as the Patriots. So this is a good litmus test. Now, obviously, I think the standard and the bar that the Bills set a year ago for themselves was a lot higher than coming into the year. So they probably didn't expect that they would be in a game and going into it that the Patriots would be ahead of them in an event like this. And they still got to play them in New England a few weeks from now. So, yeah, the tables have turned a little bit, but maybe this is the shot in the arm and the jolt that the Bills need to get their – a true identity back and get where they want to get to. But it's going to be, AFC is crazy. The top teams is not, the margin of error between those teams is not that much. And we'll start finding out who the real contenders are here in the weeks ahead.
Jack, as always, thanks for the time, my friend. Have yourself a great day.
You got it, guys. Have a great day.
See you, Jack.
All right. That's Jack Armstrong. You notice I took Jack's have a great day extra from Jack before he was able to give it to us. I don't know if you noticed that. I knew Jack loves ending his radio hits. Have a great day. I told him to have a great day before he
veteran
told
move.
Us.
Veteran
or
move.
Or the opposite.
You.
I actually kind of mowed his lawn a little bit, but in any case, we'll be back to wrap things up here on First Up in just a moment.